Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Did you get a good meal? Did they take you out to eat? Did you have a barbecue? Or did you just sit back and relax? Well, anyhow, I hope you had a very, very good Father's Day. But welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Money and Change. And we are going to talk about a bunch of different stuff today. But I'll tell you what. Oh, it's been a crazy week. If it hasn't been one thing or another. And in the financial world, I don't know. Sometimes it gets a little questionable. And so you don't know how the markets are going to go. You don't know how the value of the dollar is going to be. The only thing you can do is, and I've said this all the time on the show, pay down your debt, put some money aside, buy some long-term food, you know, like in case we have a problem like riots or something. Long-term food, I don't care if it's freeze-dried, I don't care if it's canned, boxed, whatever. Buy some long-term food, be able to preserve and store water. Make sure that you have at least 3 gallons of water per person per day and be able to preserve it, okay? So I have to purify it. Bottled water works, but I would run it through a purifier just to make sure. Also, make sure you have your medications for those of you that have to have different types of medications. Make sure you have that. Make sure you have a good first aid kit. You know, those blue tarps that you put up on your roof in case you have a leaky roof. Well, you could also use it to cover up a window if the window gets broken for some reason. There's a lot of different things to use. Visqueen plastic tarp, that's always good. Make sure you have the clothing for the season. Make sure you have extra batteries. Batteries are good. Make sure you have rechargeable batteries, too. Make sure you have flashlights, all kinds of stuff. You know, I always talk about that about the middle of the show, and I'm thinking, no, let's just do it at the beginning, because you never know what you're going to need in today's world. You know, with the riots that were going on out in L.A., and there were peaceful demonstrations in other places, but there were some pretty rowdy people out west. So you have to be prepared for things like that. So that's my first thing to kick off the show. Oh, so much other stuff. But we have to get going here because we've got a lot of stuff to cover. We do. Anyhow, guys, what are we going to talk about today? Well, we always have to start out with different things. And I've got to talk about, gee whiz, the Trim Radio Network. You know, we're redoing our page. And I'll tell you what, they're making changes more than I thought. You know, you can watch the show live, which is great. And you can join the chat. But buy the merchandise, because that merchandise helps keep us on the air. We don't get paid for doing the shows. Yeah, you could say low budget. But we want to get the word out there. And we want to serve the truth and cut the bull, if you know what I mean. Okay? So, you know, tell your friends about us. We're on the web. And you can listen to us 24/7 if you want. I've got listeners from Myanmar, which used to be called Burma, and India, and South Africa, other countries, including Europe, North America, which is Canada and the United States, and probably down into South America too. We go all over the world. So check us out. Now, buy the merchandise, because that's an important thing, because it helps keep us on the air. So eventually you'll be able to see the listing of all of our shows and all of our merchandise and everything else. You know, if you need an insulated water bottle, stainless steel, boy, those are good. And you can go to our page and buy those, or t-shirts or hoodies, you know, clocks. Buy the merch. It helps keep us on the air because it pays for airtime. And airtime is not cheap. Trust me on that. What else is going on? Oh, yeah, our Facebook page. We have our Facebook page, and it is Money and Change / Financially Prepped. It's a public group. You can ask to join. We have 160 members here. And, of course, other people have asked to get in, and I've got 7 more requests to approve tonight. So we'll get those approved, and you can follow the show and everything that we talk about, because we have that Facebook page. And if you scroll on down for tonight's show, you'll see join me for another live edition for Money and Change at 7 p.m. on thetrimradio.com. And there's our logo. And you can see we're on Rumble. We're on something called YouTube and Spotify. So we're getting around, guys. And after the show, what I will do, I will come back to the page and I will put the link to our show on Facebook or Rumble or both. Okay? Now, what's going on? Oh, yes. Like us. You know, click on the like. And then what you want to do is comment. Now, in the comment section, oh, look what I've got here. The things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about 4 financial tips for new grads kicking off their careers. You've graduated. Now, what are you going to do? 3 tips for selling your home in today's housing market. What the average wedding costs are, and, you know, how to save money to do it. Dark money network funneled millions into no kings. How about the green new steel meets drill baby drill? How about California retail theft rose 11% from 2014 to 2023? I wonder what it was in 2024 and 2025. We'll check into that. Also, these are the best college degrees for finding a job in the U.S. And also, fatherohedge.com. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about fathers, since it is Father's Day. You know, we have to talk about if mothers and fathers were not around, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? Huh? Okay, so you can check out on our page everything there. Of course, we've got Rachel, Will It Begin in L.A.? I always post different things. Bye-bye spend, 10 tips, 2025 spending hacks for those on Social Security. So if you're on Social Security, hey, go to our page and click on that video. Your area is next. Don't panic, top sanitation tips that could save your keister. Or save your life in a disaster. I had to put that in there. Top sanitation tips that could save your keister. I like that one. Anyhow, guys, there's a lot on there. And we, like with all the shows, you know, you click on the comment section and you're going to have a lot of the links to everything that we've covered. Okay? Banks are sending you warnings. It has begun. You know, you scroll on down and just click on those. Our Money and Change Facebook page, all you have to do is just ask. Like I said, I've got 7 people that want to join. And it's very easy to do. Just ask us. That's all you need to do. Hey, big shout out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. an NCAA Division II sports school, but it's a good academic school, too. It's located in Findlay, Ohio. That's an all-American town. Very livable. Very accessible to I-75. And I'll tell you what, it's a good town. It really is a good city. Really, 40,000 people live there. And the college has a beautiful campus, great professors, very good facilities. And I'll tell you what, they have three campuses. And like I've said before, you have the equestrian campus on one side of Findlay, which is equestrian and pre-veterinary science. And then you have on the opposite side of town, you have the hazardous materials campus, which they have a very good hazardous materials school. It's a big word. And then also, we have the main campus, and all the dormitories are there, all the classrooms and so forth. It's a very good school, trust me. And it's easy to walk to class, great professors. And Dr. Kathy Fell is the president of the university. She's done a fantastic job. And a big tip of the hat also to the trustees that keep things going too. I'll tell you what, it's a good school. If it wasn't, hey, I wouldn't recommend it. But, you know, we've talked about a lot of different things over the months. And I'll tell you what, I thought I'd just cover housing and residence life. Because, you know, people say, well, where do the students stay? What type of dorms are they? And I'll tell you what, I liked it when I was there. I stayed in the dorm the whole time I was on campus. I didn't live off campus because the dorms are so close to all the classrooms and everything. And you have different dorms, Bear Hall, Deming Hall, Fox Hall, Lovett, or leave it, no, Lovett Hall, and Maury Hall, Myers, the UF Haven, and the UF Village. And I'll tell you what, I stayed in Bear Hall when it was brand new. I've stayed in Fox Residence Hall. I've also stayed in Maury Residence Hall. Matter of fact, when I went to the campus the first time, I was in Maury. And we had a wild time there. It was a good group of people, I'll put it that way. And then Fox Hall was the residence hall for the upperclassmen, the juniors and seniors. And then later Bear Hall was being built my junior year, I believe, when I was at the University of Findlay. Really good dormitories. Here you can see, I believe this is Bear Hall on the left, and some guys in the dorm room. And sometimes, you know, they have it so you have bunk beds there. I was never really fond of bunk beds. We had two twin beds, and we had desks and so forth. We didn't have any air conditioning there. We had windows. And we had our own fans in the room and so forth. But basically, we were never there during the summertime. And when we were in Bear Hall, they did have air conditioning there, which was great because I was there during the summer. I had to take some extra classes. No, I wasn't bad. No, I wasn't dumb. I just needed some extra coursework because I was going for a specialized major. And here's Fox Hall, and you can see the Euler, Derrick, and Fountain. Well, that's Fox Hall. You spent a lot of time there. And you can see what the dorm rooms are like. And, you know, the people there are nice. Okay, it's a good campus. Check them out. www.findlay.edu. They've got 85-plus undergraduate degrees. They've got, I believe, 11 master's degrees, 5 doctoral degrees. So check them out, the University of Findlay. It's a good place. Hey, you know, I always talk about Dave Gilmore and the LDS Prepper. I always talk about him because he talks about GMRS radios. And he also, on this one, talked about the KG935G. And there's also the G+. And I'll tell you what, if you have an emergency, these radios are really good to have. And I'll show you what I've got. I've got the 935G+. with a Nagoya 771G antenna. That's a GMRS antenna. I can talk 35 miles to Dayton, Ohio, get on a repeater in Dayton, Ohio, and I can automatically go out 90 miles beyond that due to the height of the repeater. Okay, it's pretty good. And I'll tell you what, $35 gets you a license for 10 years. Anybody in your family can use it. Just follow the rules. And they're great, okay, especially in an emergency. They're really good when the phones don't work, cable's not working. These radios will. So they're good to have. They really are. I've got several. The reason being is if something happens and I need to get those radios out to family members, I can do that very easily. So you want to check up on Dave Gilmore's videos. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to put that back up there because Dave not only talks about GMRS radios, he talks about a lot of different things. And he pushes buy2wayradios.com. I don't think he gets a commission off of it. But I'll tell you what, he has a lot of good videos. He really does. But he talks about communication. He talks about growing plants, different types of heating sources, and so forth. Very knowledgeable person. I've talked to the man. He is fantastic. So you want to check him out, ldsprepper.com. Wow, what else is up? Oh, yeah, fathers. We have to talk about fathers because it's Father's Day, right? Well, hey, a father's financial value extends far beyond monetary contributions. While fathers provide financial support for their families, they also play a crucial role in shaping their children's financial well-being through education, guidance, and positive role modeling. Their influence on children's financial behaviors and future success is significant. And then you look at today's families. You know, sometimes you have the father working and the mother working, and they might be working two jobs each just to make things exist. And that's the way it is. When I was growing up, my dad was the breadwinner. He worked, and he worked for a savings and loan company and worked his way up into management. And then he switched. He went to a bank, and he worked for a bank for a long, long, long time. And he ended up being vice president of the bank. He had a lot of duties that he had to do. And he had time to come home and, you know, play with the kids and have a good life. But he provided for his family. He did it very nicely. And that's what it's about. But he always provided for the family. And there was always a date night out for mom and dad. And they would go out dancing. I believe it was like every Saturday night. And Friday night, you know, when I was in high school, they would go to the football games or the basketball games. And they, very supportive, very family-oriented people. And maybe it needs to return to that. Well, anyhow, I found this information, and here's what we've got. Direct financial contributions, the household income and expenses. You know, the fathers often contribute significantly to the family's income, covering essential expenses like housing, food, clothing, and health care. Long-term financial security. Fathers play a role in planning for retirement, securing life insurance, and saving for their children's education, ensuring a stable financial value for their families, or future for their families. Well, value too. Well, financial education and guidance, early lessons. Fathers often introduce children to basic financial concepts, how to save money, how to budget money, and the value of the work, and how you apply yourself. They provide financial role modeling, their long-term financial security. Now, right now, we've got some kids that get through high school, they go to college and they come back, they don't have a job. Next thing you know, they're still living with mom and dad. Maybe they didn't get the right degree. Maybe their degree wasn't as meaningful as what you have at the University of Finley, because they like to have degrees like in pharmacy and business, education, finance, you know, good courses that will help you through life. Well, they also provide emotional and psychological support, positive influence on success. You know, families need to stress success. I knew a family in Cincinnati, and they were really, really family oriented. And it was a close family, it was a large family. And they went to Seton High School. That's for the girls, and the guys went to Cincinnati Elder High School. And in both schools, they prepared those students for good jobs. They had very good academic backgrounds when they graduated from those schools. And they were a parochial school. But it was instilled in them to be a success. And by and large, they were. So, you know, I mean, the schools have to stress it and the parents have to stress it, okay, on being positive about being a successful person. Well, they also help break the poverty cycle. But I'll tell you what, beyond the paycheck, a father's value is more than just his paycheck. It encompasses his overall contribution to the family's well-being, including love, support, and guidance. Some people had to have guidance by the seat of their pants. Some people had to have guidance with an arm around their shoulders. But they had guidance. And maybe that's what we're lacking now in today's society. So, hey, you know, if your father's still around and living, hug them, love them, and try to get as much information from them as you can. Learn, experience. Because when they're gone, you don't have that information. And that's tough. What else is going on? Well, these are the best college degrees for finding a job in the U.S. And this was in Zero Hedge. And this is done by Visual Capitalists Bruno Venditti. Venditti? And it uses recent data compiled by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, better known as the Fed. And you can take a look at the top, $75,000 a year for nutritional sciences. Construction services, $100,000 a year. Animal and plant sciences, about $70,000. Civil engineering, $100,000 a year. Special education, $55,000 a year. Agriculture, $75,000 a year. Early childhood education, $49,000 a year. Aerospace engineering, $125,000 a year. Nursing, $84,000 a year. Earth sciences, $88,000. $115,000 for mechanical engineering. Social services, $54,000. Elementary education, $53,000. Accounting, $88,000 a year. $100,000 a year in engineering technologies, chemical engineering, $120,000 a year, electrical engineering, $120,000 a year, health services, $65,000 a year, and so forth. And then you get down to the bottom, we have ethnic studies, and that's $83,000 a year. So those are the best jobs right now in 2025. And I think you could get all of those jobs out at the University of Findlay, except for the engineering, because they don't have an engineering school right now. Maybe in the future they will have, but they do have a lot of the other classes that are available, especially in accounting, health services, business analytics. It's there, University of Findlay, check them out. Wow, you can take a look at the ranking here and the unemployment rate for those different courses of study. Find a good school, determine what you want to do, and go for it. Aim high and go for the best that you can go for. And find a good school that will educate you and provide the learning services you need. Wow, what else is going on? Oh, yeah, we've got something here. How Trump's budget bill will impact student loans. What to know? Listen to this.
All week, we're giving you everything that you need to know about paying back your student loans. And today, we're breaking down all the latest policy changes under the Trump administration. Joining us now for that, we've got Mark Antrowitz, author and student loan expert. Mark, let's start with some of the proposals in the Republican budget bill. What changes could come for borrowers if it is passed as is?
Well, first of all, it repeals the subsidized Stafford loan for undergraduate students and the Grad PLUS loans for graduate students. It sets the House version of the bill sets new aggregate loan limits of $50,000 for undergraduate students, $100,000 for graduate students, and $150,000 for professional school students. The Senate version of the bill, which just dropped this morning, has $200,000 limit for professional school students, and it has an annual limit for the undergraduate students. Of course, the Grad Stafford loan of $20,500 and $50,000 for professional school students. It gets rid of the economic hardship deferment and unemployment deferment, and changes forbearances to 9 months out of every 24 months. And it's replaces the dozen or so student loan repayment plans with just two: a standard repayment plan, which is more like an extended repayment plan. The repayment term depends on the amount you owe, and an income-based repayment assistance plan, which is an income-driven repayment plan that has monthly payments that are slightly less than the current income-based repayment, but much higher than under the Safe Repayment Plan, which has been blocked by the courts.
And so, as we're trying to think about some of the largest changes for what this means longer term, are students going to end up having a more difficult time getting student loans, not just applied for, but also getting those disbursements as well? What's the net effect?
Well, the net effect is that students at higher cost colleges that need to borrow more are going to have to borrow from the private student loan programs, not just from the federal student loan programs. So about 7% of undergraduate students, up to a little bit more than half of medical school students, will have to borrow private loans because the federal loan limits will not be enough. The grants are also going down, which may shift some students from getting grants into borrowing or not going to college at all. The House bill eliminates Pell Grant eligibility for students who are enrolled less than half time. And that's going to disproportionately affect students at community colleges. It also changes the definition of full time from 12 credits a semester to 15 credits a semester, which is the equivalent of about a 20% cut in the Pell Grants that the students who were previously enrolled in 12 credits will receive. That means they're going to have to borrow or not go to college at all.
Bitcoin, longest ever streak above 100.
Well, it just continues on. Wow, I didn't get it stopped in time. Holy cow. Yeah, College loans. Do you go to a trade school or do you go to a college or university? Where are you going to make the most money and be satisfied with your employment? Do you want to work first and then go to school, or work and go to school at the same time? You know, that's a hard choice. Some students like to go to a two-year community college, and they get I believe it's an associate's degree, or in some cases they can get a complete degree there by taking additional classes. Something to consider. When I got out of college, I only had $7,000 in debt. And I was lucky. And I had that paid off in a year. So then I found out I had to go back for more and more and more. So do your planning well in advance of graduating from high school. And if you get into a study of courses that you don't think that you really need to be in, change your major, but try to find something that you're going to be satisfied with, that's meaningful, and you can make a decent living at. What else is going on here? Oh, yes. No Kings. Hey, we had that going on this past weekend. There was a lot of argument on Facebook about it between different people. And I said, look, we are a constitutional republic. We are not subject to a king. We will not have a king. Our people are elected. So why are we talking about No Kings? Well, you know, that article is there. You can read it on your own. And the different funds from NGOs, non-government organizations, so forth, were listed here. Who was financing everything? Where are they getting their money? They always say when investigating something, follow the money. And guess what? You need to follow the money. And you'll probably find the truth, okay? You can check that out on our Facebook page. What else is going on? California retail theft rose 11% from 2014 to 2023. I'd love to find out what it was in 2024 and currently what it's like in 2025. Smash and grabs are up. You know, that's when they break into a jewelry store and take out baseball bats and pipes and so forth and just smash the display cases and take what they can take. Smash and grabs are only there probably for a little over maybe 2-3 minutes, and it's grab and run. People say, well, that's sometimes a way of doing business. That really hurts the business, and too much grab and runs and theft, or cause it's called shrinkage. What happens there is that, gee whiz, businesses don't hang around. Look what happened in Chicago. Some of the big stores moved out because of all the theft. Probably in Los Angeles too. And other big cities when they start having crime. And here they're saying California's soft on crime approach, along with the pandemic era actions, may have contributed to a rise in retail theft from 2014 to 2023. You think? That's why prices are going up. That's why stores are going out of business in some locations, because of the theft. You can't be soft on crime. You violate the law, you violate the law, and you get punished. That's it. And California, well, I imagine they suffered what they caused. Okay. What else is going on? Three tips. I got to get past these ads. I know they have to have ads, but you know, I don't like to show them. Three tips for selling your home in today's housing market. Are you going to sell your house? You know, I get phone calls every week. Oh, do you have the property at XYZ Street? Do you want to sell it? And sometimes I'll play along with the game. Well, convince me. Oh, well, I think I can get much more of that on the market. You know, what's your best bid? Well, then I'm not putting it up for sale. Or they'll call and they'll say, do you want to sell this on ABC Street? I might. Opening bid is $3 million for the property. Click. I play those games too. But if I was going to put my house up for sale, here's three tips for selling your home in today's housing market. Imagine a seller listing their home for $450,000. After weeks with no offers, they reduce the price to $425,000. And within days, they secure a buyer. And that's Joe Manusa, a real estate broker in Tallahassee, Florida, talking about today's home seller in a YouTube video. And what's the lesson? Did the seller back down on their price too soon? Overprice the home from the beginning? Sell too cheap? You know, what did they do? Nationally, almost one in five homes listings, about 19.1%, had price reductions last month, according to Realtor.com. And price reductions were twice as common in the South and the West as in the Northeast. We'll get past all these loan company things. Sellers are adapting to a more balanced market. And Manusa said the price reduction scenario above reflects how sellers are adapting to a more balanced market. During the years of low housing inventory and historically low interest rates, prices or the price reductions were rare, and sellers could command top dollar. And now with inventory climbing and borrowing costs higher, sellers are finding that pricing aggressively does not always lead to a quick offer. You take a look at the housing market in Canada. There were some homes that I saw on a realtor show where they were, half a million, three quarters of a million, million five for the house. Of course, that's in Canadian dollars. But why would you want to be in debt for that? That's scary. Well, anyhow, what they're saying here, dig deeper, and will mortgage rates ever be 3% again? Know the state of housing inventory in your market. I always get notifications of what other houses in my neighborhood have sold for and what the value of my house basically is. So you want to take a look at that. Understand how hot your market is. So how hot is Cincinnati? How hot is Cleveland? Cincinnati's down and Cleveland is increasing. So you can take a look at this and you can just go to our Facebook page and hey, this is there. You can take a look at it. Denver and Austin are going down. Virginia Beach is going up. Myrtle Beach, sky high. I have a friend of mine that has a condo in Myrtle Beach. And it's expensive. And what used to be a really nice beach area there, it's all built up around it. So, I mean, how would you like to go to a large city or large county that's populated by a whole bunch of people and they all go to the same beach? I don't think I want to. Anyhow, number three, consider time on the market. How long has it been on the market? Are you going to leave it sit for a year on the market, 2 years on the market, 30 days? Around where I live, if one of my homes in my neighborhood is posted, it is sold within 2 weeks. 3 weeks at the outset. That's how quick the market is. And I can go five blocks away from where I live and there are $500,000 homes. I can go a half mile away and we're talking in the early $1 million. So you can take a look at that. So consider the time on the market. And those are the three things. They're going to be on our Facebook page. So you just click on that. You can read the whole article. Wow, what's the next one on the agenda here? Green New Steel meets Drill Baby Drill, farmland caught in crosshairs. This occurred in Zero Hedge. It said, welcome to the latest cesspool of crony capitalism. The stench wafting out of Iowa is thicker than a Bakken oil slick. Thanks to Governor Kim Reynolds. It's the veto of House File 639. Well, it would be called here in Ohio House Bill. This legislation effort aimed to slap handcuffs on the egregious use of eminent domain for Summit Carbon Solutions' 9 billion CO2 pipeline. A project reeking of big oil influence and backroom deals. And you can read the article by diving into the muck. Why are they going to do a CO2 pipeline? But you can read the article. Just go to the links and click on it. Oh, hey, we had to talk about Rusty Duck's custom pens. Some people say, hey, do you get paid by Rusty to do this? No. I do it because he does a really good job of making custom pens for colleges, universities, businesses, fraternities, sororities, clubs, you name it. You just get a hold of Phil over at Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. They've got them on Facebook. There's the link. He does all kinds of pens. I imagine he'll do pencils too. Now, what you see there are service-oriented pens with fiber blanks in the center, carbon fiber blanks. And he manufactures those and then puts them on a cross pen platform. He does an excellent job. But not only does he do that, but if you click on media, you can see the different pens that he does. And he does an excellent job with all the pens. You tell him what custom design you want for nurses, Second Amendment, doctors, whatever. Just let him know and he'll do that. He's excellent at what he does. And I talked about the money pen before. That's the center blank that is filled with actual shreds of money. Where he gets it, I don't know. I don't think he shreds his own. But anyhow, he has a lot of different stuff to look at. You know, you have a fraternity. For example, the Masons, for example. He makes great pens. For them, he presented one of his Masonic pens to the Grand Master of the State of Ohio because he visited the lodge. And I happened to be there when he presented that pen, and the Grand Master really, really appreciated it. He does other types of things too. Fantastic job. And you can take a look at all of his work just by going to his Facebook page. Pizza cutters. Yeah, he makes those too. Ice cream scoops. The guy's multi-talented. Check him out. Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. You'll be glad you did. Hey, what else is going on? 12 more market accounts with interest rates of 4% APY and higher, and it's updated weekly. Yeah, you can check it out here. Just go to the links, and here they are. Okay. Best MMA rates today. You can check those out. Our Facebook page, because, you know, we have them. We have them on there. The link is there. All you have to do is in the comments. Click on the comments and the link will be there. What else is going on? Oh, 4 financial tips for new grads kicking off their careers. Here we go.
Into one of the toughest job markets in recent history, with unemployment rates for recent grads hitting 5.8% compared to just 4% for all workers. So it's a crucial time for young people to make smart financial moves. I'm going to bring in Dana Haley, who is the Ameriprise Financial Vice President of Financial Planning and Advice. Great to have you here in studio with us. You have 4 pillars of advice for new graduates. Study your benefits, establish a strong credit history, develop a budget, and take advantage of uncertainty. So let's start with benefits. Why is it important to study those benefits?
It's an exciting time for new graduates into the workforce to think about what benefits they have. It's a great time to take a look at what's offered, whether they have a 401k. This may be the first time that they've had access to a 401k. So making sure that they can max out at least the employer match, but also looking at health insurance. This is probably the first time they've had to pay for health insurance. And then what are the other benefits available to new grads into the workforce and taking advantage of what's offered to them?
So why is it also important to establish a credit history? And I mean, this is really going to set folks up for life, basically.
It absolutely will. It will set the foundation. You think about your credit history and whether you're renting an apartment for the first time, whether you're buying a car, you're buying a house, all of those things will look at your credit history to determine whether you're a worthy risk. And so if new grads, new folks into the workforce can manage to live within their means, making sure that they understand what their expenses are, and then if they can start to think about, can they get a credit card to start to establish that credit history, making sure that they don't overcharge on that card and pay off the balances every month. That'll put them in a really solid foundation for future financial decisions that they may make.
Yeah, that's great advice. Also here, we know that you've got to develop a good budget, even if your funds are limited. So how can you go about really setting the foundation there?
Yeah, I think first it's important to understand what you have to work with. What's your income? What are your expenses? I think the areas where you can run amok a little bit are eating out and spending a lot of money on going to restaurants or bars. And just focusing in on how much can you afford on a monthly basis for some of those extras and trying to live within your means. That'll be super helpful.
Now, young investors, how can they take advantage of uncertainty? I mean, there's been plenty of that permeating and really rattling around over the course of 2025 in the first half of this year.
Absolutely. If I were a new graduate, well, obviously the job market may be challenging. The volatility in the market uncertainty can play in their favor. They have a long time to invest. And so when I think about saving into a 401k or saving into the stock market, you're actually having the opportunity to dollar cost average. That means buying in over time. And if the market is down, you're buying things on sale, essentially. So if you were to go to Target and buy laundry detergent and it's on sale 2 for 1, you're going to buy 2 because it's cheaper, right? The same thing is happening with the stock market. If you're new into the market, you have plenty of time. This is, to me, exciting for you because you're buying in at potentially lower prices. That long-term, you'll see that long-term appreciation.
I'm going to ask you a bonus one here, especially as we have even more of a mindset among younger folks, new graduates who are looking across the gig economy, the influencer economy, and looking at the job market as well, trying to say, okay, if I can't get into the job market right now, how do I start my own business and generate my own income? What is the best way that they can set a foundation for generating different streams of income as well over their careers?
I think that's a great question. And certainly owning a business is a way to generate wealth. What I would say is making sure you have good personal financial fundamentals, having a savings account, building up a cash reserve, understanding your expenses, understanding tax implications, all of those things will help you if you're thinking about starting a business, making sure you have some sort of foundation to protect the downside in the event that things don't go as planned.
Great advice, Lena. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you can check that out on our website on Facebook. Wow, we've just got a few minutes here. And I'll tell you what, have you checked the U.S. debt clock lately? Boy, I'll tell you what, I had this thing sized just right. And guess what? It changed. But on the usdebtclock.org, check it out, because you can see how badly we are in debt. Right now, we're at $36,983,000,153,000,000 and climbing. That's $107,942 per citizen. Taxpayers, well, $323,051. Do you have that kind of money available? I don't. Yeah, that's a lot of money. And how did we get there? Government spending. You know, people always say that the congressmen always spend like drunken sailors. Well, except for one thing, drunken sailors know when to quit because they run out of money. Congress just keeps printing money. And what we have to do is tell Congress to stop printing money, stop spending our hard-earned money, our children's money, our grandchildren's money, and probably our great-grandchildren's money. Politicians cause the problem. That's a problem. The Doge clock, 519,785,000,000 in climbing, and that's saving the taxpayer $4,628 a taxpayer. A lot of statistics here for Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, defense, war, interest in the debt, everything else. A lot of statistics here, and it's climbing, it's current. So you want to check that out. A lot of different things, guys. A lot of different things all together. Wow, what else is going on with us? Well, so much. So much. Well, gee whiz, there's Jerry. He sneaked in here, and I was so busy doing the show, I didn't get a chance to say hi to Jerry. He's in the Money and Change and My World. Which reminds me, guys, before we have to get out of here, because it's going to be a little shorter show than normal. But do me a favor, have a good Father's Day, but pay down your debt. Put some money aside. Buy some long-term food. Be able to store and preserve water. Purify water, 3 gallons per person per day, good first aid kit, batteries, filters if you need them. I mean, there's a lot of things to remember. And there was an old military adage that said, one is none and two is one. I learned that a few years ago. And sometimes I kind of wonder where I can store all this stuff. When you have to have two to equal one, because what happens with one when it breaks? Then you have none. Make sure that you watch the headlines in the news. Make sure you follow what's going on. Make sure that you have the ability to pay down that debt. Get some money aside for a rainy day, because what happens if your car breaks down and you don't have the money? Boy, I hope you have a good pair of shoes. And don't go into debt. Pay that credit card off as soon as you possibly can. That's the point. And if you do that, you'll be fine. Well, guys, with that, hey, have a good week. We will see you Wednesday on My World, and we'll have a little bit of fun there. So stop back, check us out on the Facebook page for Money and Change, and we'll have several postings during the week. And also, check out the other shows on the Trim Radio Network. And remember, we are having our webpage updated, and things are changing. And I'll tell you what, if you want to do your own show, let us know. Just contact us. We'll tell you how to do it. I mean, if I can push the buttons, so can you. And with that, guys, that's all I have. See you, Jerry. And have a good week. See you.